Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for coming. Thanks for being here. Our objective for this service, just so you know, is to add value to your life in a meaningful way. Okay? I don't want you just to hear this. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I believe that added hearing, where it's redundant in that verse in Romans, is actually that you see it and feel it. I want you to see, hear, and feel joy today. I want you to become acquainted with joy, where it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I mean, open your hearts today. Man, listen, be open today. Because I believe God's word is that powerful. We all deal with the fear of missing out. We all do. And the sequence of it, for me, the stages of it are just simply, it's simple to identify. It's comparison. And at the age of social media right now, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Adam Silver just talked, he's the commissioner of the NBA, talking about all these NBA stars, some of them that are making $30 and $40 million a year, and their lives are, they're just so depressed. There's so much weight on them. And man, most people that are just getting by in life, they're thinking, dear God, if I made a fraction of that, it'd be so much. But it's not about how much money you make. It's not about your station in life. It's not about your age. Man, it's about what you open your heart up to. It's about what you allow to come into your life. But the simple, I just identified, it's comparison, rejection, and depression. That's what happens. That's the fruit of the fear of missing out. Now, I'm going to talk about, it's interesting because I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit at the end of the message. But there's our lives, we're producing fruit. You know, it's interesting because the Bible says, well, if the fruit's good, the tree's good. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. You know, it's interesting because it's like, well, it's not my kid. It's those kids that my kid's hanging out with. No, it's just the fruit of your kid's life, the fruit of your life. If the fruit's bad, then the tree's bad, okay? Understand that. But jumping to conclusions when it comes to and depression just causes us to do that. It causes us just to jump. We don't listen. We don't look at the whole picture. We jump to conclusion. And what this does, that brings depression on like a freight train. Don't raise your hands, but how many guys deal with depression in your life? It's like you're tied to the tracks and the freight train's coming and it's just barreling down the tracks and just gonna waylay your life. And we have to say the fruit of the world leads to mass depression. Just by nature, Jesus said, in this world you're gonna have tribulation. It's gonna be a suppression that's gonna hit your life. You know, here, finish this expression for me, would you? What comes up must come down. Well, that's natural. But you know what? That's not God. God's always the lifter. God's always the elevator. See, here's what's interesting. God said, look, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm going to draw everybody. It doesn't matter what station, doesn't matter what position in life, doesn't matter how much money they have, doesn't matter how many times they've been married. I'm telling you, the whole idea of this, you think about it. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. You think about the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. You think about the whole thing. It's all about lifting. Man, the good Samaritan where the man was crushed. Oh, you know what? He picked him up and he carried him. Man, that God's going to lift us. And that's the nature of God. The nature of the world is to drive us down, is to suppress us. The nature of the kingdom is to lift us up. See, and that's what's at war in, around, and through us all the time. And I want to make an overwhelming case today. And I'm telling you, it's going to be like a street fight today. I want to make an overwhelming case for joy in your lives. Listen, as the will of God. As the new reality for your life. And see, what's interesting is that we think the will of God is something that we do. God, is it your will for me to preach? Well, sure. The Bible says preach in season and out of season. Man, preach the word, no matter what. Preach the word, no matter what. Write that down. Proclaim God's promise. See, what I'm doing, I'm in front of you, I'm proclaiming. But let me just help you. Man, I want to recommend something. I don't know if I've ever done this before, but I watched a thing last night. Sandy made me. It's a rough day yesterday in my life. I'm just telling you right now. Sandy hit me levels of mean, actually mean-spirited, I think, yesterday. I mean, I'm not, you shouldn't laugh at a man that's struggling like I did yesterday. Okay, but no, she left the house yesterday, and I thought, well, she goes, well, you're gonna go? I said, I don't know, I don't think so. But so she left. No, I left the door open for her thinking, well, maybe I'll go with her. And so she's in her car, and I find something. Like, I went to the trash can in the kitchen, and I pulled some trash out of it, and I walked out, you know, like I'm, you know, like it's my house, like you know, I'm running the show. I walk out to the garage. She's pulling out of the garage, and I look at her windows down, and I'll go over to the trash can. I throw it, and I'm not ignoring her. But I'm big-leaguing her, okay? And I go to the trash can, I throw the trash in there, I turn around, just kind of look at her like this, just kind of gave her one of these, and she looks, and she doesn't say anything. I'm like, oh, good. Oh, great. We just did a dadgum relation thing like 2 weeks ago, and you're being the beast, woman. And I said, oh, you're just going to go? She goes, yeah, oh, yeah. No, don't play that calm thing with me, woman. All right? So I walked over the door. So I said, okay, hey, go ahead. Just get on. Just go. Walked over the door, and this was like speed compared to how I was walking. Because I'm expecting her to say, come on, Bill, why don't you go with me? Right? Because she sat under the tremendous ministry of this house for 26 years. She ought to be more mature than that. So I walked over the door and I grabbed the door like this. I look back, and what does she do? Her window goes up. And she just rolls out and she goes to the mother-daughter picnic at the Guts Church. Mother, son, who cares what it is? Don't ever correct me publicly like that again either. My show. So, no, she just leaves. And I'm going, come on. Well, I'm telling you what right now. This is a new ball game here. I'm telling you, I'm putting a new footprint on this house. And I'm thinking, how selfish are you? Are you kidding me? Like all of a sudden, like God made you the center of the universe? And I stopped, asked God to forgive my attitude, and I repented. And she comes in and afterwards, and I said, how'd it go? She goes, man, it went great. And she's acting like nothing happened. And she proceeds to tell me they went out to dinner afterwards. Did I get any? No. I ate cheese and summer sausage for dinner last night. Which isn't a bad day, fellas. Are you with me on that? No, Sandy left for like a week when Brooklyn had her baby, and she goes, you go to the store? I said, I didn't need to. Why? Well, because it was around Christmas time, and we got all those boxes full of summer sausage and cheese. I'll tell you what, man, I could, like the new millennial, like when the computers were supposed to crash in 1999, I could have gotten by just with the rest of my life on summer sausage and cheese. And you know the interesting thing, you know why they call it summer sausage? It doesn't have to be refrigerated. That's perfect. I just gnaw on it, and I got the remote in one hand and somersaults, and I'm just gnawing on them, just eating. But anyway, I'm like, this is crazy. And you know what? I had to choose not to be as selfish as I was. And today, we're going to make an overwhelming case on your choice, on choosing joy, where I believe it's going to become real to you, and it's going to be revelation in you. Let's look at the Word, because what Jesus is, the Word made flesh. Do you agree with that? So Jesus is the Word made flesh, and he came and lived with us. But he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'll tell you, I'm going to recommend something on Netflix, the Billy Graham documentary. I'm telling you, watch it today. I mean, it's an hour long, I think, and it's unbelievable that this man, from the time he was in high school to when he died at almost 100 years old, the message never wavered, never changed, never altered. And I'm telling you, I'm watching this thing and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if he hadn't went and preached in Russia when he did, the Cold War might still be going on. I mean, in China, in North Korea, in all parts of Africa, every communist country on the planet, he preached at. People are hanging out of windows. People are standing on rooftops. There's just a throng of people everywhere we went. And the simple message is God loves you, wants to have a relationship with you. And the only way you can is through his son, Jesus Christ. He didn't come in and say, well, you know, we're all praying to the same God. You know, whether you're Hindu or Muslim or Islam or whatever you are, we're all playing. He didn't say that. He said, it's Jesus. Man, we get to God through his son, Jesus. And that's where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Let's treat God's word today as the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody need a Bible? Casey, I need a Bible. Hustle up, son. Okay, it's good hustle. Anybody need a Bible? Anybody don't, you need a Bible today, all right? I want to give you a Bible, all right? You were going to block it. Anybody else need a Bible? Who need? Okay, Moneyball. Get with me. That's there. It's there. Yeah, pass it back. What are you, Sandy? It's just a Bible. We have lawyers. Anybody else need a Bible? I'm going to have Sandy take you a Bible. Who else needs a Bible? We're going to get in the Word today. If you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible, you need to get a Bible now, okay? Oh, Kason's handing them out now. What are you, an usher? Have I introduced my wife, Sandy, to you? Sandy, do you mind? Sandy? All right, you guys have got a Bible, let's get in the Word. Act like you got some dadgum sense. I'll be preaching to St. Pulper or something where there's smart people. Dealing with all you, how many people are from Broken Arrow in here? Can I see your hands? That explains a lot of it, all right? So Psalm 16, verse 11. Tell me when you're there. You will show me the path of life, okay? Now listen, I know the devil's going to try to get you to think, I read the Bible and I don't understand it, okay? But here's the promise right here. I'm going to show you the path of life. I'm going to show you how to get there. In the margin of your Bible, that's what he's saying. You want to know how to get there? I'm going to show you how to get there. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This life is relational, and we're the beneficiaries of this grace. So you go back to that verse 11 in Psalm 16, and what does it say? Man, God, you're going to show me the way to get there, and in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. Now listen. And I know we talk a lot about how to get God's presence. Man, he's in you right now. His promise, the way this whole thing works, it's not intellectual how it works. This whole thing works because he said, look, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? That's the plumb line. That's the starting point right there. How's this going to work out? It's going to work out because God's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's never going to not resource you for whatever you need. So much so that the Bible says that all of our needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's will in our lives is the fullness of joy. Write that down. His will in my life is to be full of joy. That's his will. When somebody comes and say, man, what's the will of God? Well, the will of God's for me to preach. Yeah, to preach. But the will of God's for me to sing. Man, God, what's your will for my life? It's for you to be full of joy. Fullness of joy, fullness of joy. That's his will, okay? In Psalm 30 in verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure by the night, but joy comes in the morning. The two words that I want to pull out of that is God's promise, is joy comes. Whatever you're dealing with, joy comes. Man, I'm telling you, and nothing can stop it. Please, are you listening to me today? Nothing can stop it. It just says, look, joy comes. Just like gravity works, what goes up must go down in the natural sense on earth. Well, you know what? The sense in heaven, the supernatural sense in heaven, is joy comes. But you know what we do? We resist it. What do? I don't know how I'm going to get there. Our words are so powerful. Man, and I'm going to show you that, but what will we say? I don't think this is ever going to work out. We've never had enough. Man, I've lived in poverty all my life. I've lived hand to mouth and month to month. Man, my marriage is just not going to work out. Man, I'll tell you, no, you quit saying stuff like that. I'm worried about my kid. Really? How is worrying about your kid going to change anything? It doesn't. Worrying doesn't change a thing. Yet we're all so great at it. We don't have to teach classes in church on how to worry. Let's identify some worry in our lives. No, I got it. Okay, in Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, do you want to be strong? Man, do you get up every day and say, you know what, I'm going to choose weakness today. I'm just going to be a weak sucker today. I'm going to be, you know what, I'm going to be a bottom feeder. No, we're the lion of the tribe of Judah. We're the spotless lamb. We're not bottom feeders. In Psalm 27, verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Man, we want to say, well, my enemies are so many and they're all around me. And you know what God does? He lifts us up. See, this is the interesting thing. And I made this point Wednesday night. We have church on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. But the natural part of our life, we live at this level right here. And this is where our fights are. This is where our temptations are. This is where our enemies all are. But what God does, and listen, and what God's will in our life is to elevate our lives. But you're never going to surpass the development. You're never going to go higher than the development in your life. See, that's why we have to be in the Word every day. Don't let it leave the line of sight. Man, keep it in your heart. See, we got to hide the Word in our heart is what the Word says. Why? Because things come up. Man, things jump up and then boom, we got a ready Word. Why? Because I've got it hidden in my heart. See, so God lifts my head up, but the thing is, when God lifts me up here, if my temptations and my battles and my issues and my enemies are at the level of the floor and I'm here, I've got a distinct advantage all the time, every time over it. And that's what God wants to give you. He's not taking you out of the fight. Matter of fact, a lot of times he takes us to the fight. And what do? We fight the good fight of what? Faith. It's not the good fight of finances. It's not the good fight of health. It's a good fight of faith. And what does God do? Man, we hear, and by hearing by the word of God, when we hear it and we see it and we feel it, guess what? It builds in our life. So we were at that level. Now I'm at this level, and I'm above my enemies now. Temptation can't live here. There's a highway of holiness that God's given us to travel on. The Bible says sin can't travel on it. And you're thinking, well, I just fell into sin. No, you didn't fall into sin. You fell to get to a place of sin. And how does that happen? Because pride comes before the fall. So you get in an area of pride, guess what you're doing? You begin to fall. What do you fall into? You fall into sin. Does that make sense? See, in Psalm 35, verse 27, just a powerful, a foundational verse in my life. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Two things that you have to choose to do here. Number one is you have to shout for joy. When's the last time you shouted for joy? Probably at a ball game, maybe at a concert, maybe at the casino. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Listen, and let them say, who favor my righteous cause. Those are the two choices you make. Shout for joy and be glad. And let them say continually. Let them say continually. The word works when it comes out of your mouth. The word doesn't work when you just read it. We activate God's promise. We activate his word verbally. This faith we live is verbal. It's God's logos. That's the written word. And you know what? It's potential. But you know what God's, the spoken word is? It's God. It's the rhema of God. It's that faith. It's that power of God. It comes out of our mouth that we've got to say it. And we got to say it continually. And what does it say? What does the psalmist say? It says, look, let him say continually. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be amplified. Let the Lord get bigger. Let the Lord get louder. Man, because what God will do when you allow God, when you let God be, let the Lord be magnified in your life, it shuts the mouth of the lion that roars in front of you. The beast of the field. The roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let them say continually, let the Lord be, who has takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, of his people, his children. God takes pleasure in your prosperity. Why aren't you prosperous? Why aren't you in control of your life? Man, how many of you guys in here, man, you've beaten alcoholism. Anybody in here just beaten? How many guys have beaten drug abuse? How many guys have beaten gambling? How many guys have beaten all kinds of stuff? You've beaten divorce. You've beaten everything. Let me just tell you, the whole idea of this now is that we have to shout for joy. Man, what happens when you win? What happens when your kid hits a home run? What happens when your kid scores a goal? What do you think? No, Chano's kids all play soccer, right? Man, what happens? What happens when Stella scores a goal, Jeremy? Man, you come out, man, you're thinking, well, that guy needs to get a grip. No, my kid just scored. Are you kidding me? See, the idea of this is that it's funny because, man, we get emotional about that stuff, but the true things in life that matter, man, what if I'm right? What if the two keys in life are to shout for joy and be glad? How about you just begin to favor his righteous cause? What if you say continually, let the Lord be magnified, let the Lord be magnified? This is our continuing heart's cry. See, I think the two main thing that people miss out on, that we need to get better at, is helping people find their voice. So much of this, I don't know how to say it. You know, they're married for how many years, and it's like, I don't even know how to talk to her anymore. Trust me, I know how to talk to that woman. She's done a great job teaching me, coaching me. But see, the bottom line is, but the devil's going to get you to think that you don't know how to do it. I don't know how to talk to my boss. Are you kidding me? I don't know how to talk to my kid. No, that's the devil. That's the enemy. You have to find your voice, listen, and then your heart's cry. See, we do everything we can do to give you an opportunity. An opportunity to serve, an opportunity to get your hands dirty, an opportunity to get in the mix. Why? Because you're going to find your heart. And you're going to find people. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I went to Bible school. I didn't know a dadgum thing. And I hooked up with people like Jeff Perry. And what was Jeff Perry's heart? To go out in the street and preach to people. So guess what I did? I went along. He took his Bible, so I took my Bible. He knew how to find things in his Bible. Mine was just something I held in my hand and felt awkward. I couldn't find a thing in it. But you know what? I found my heart's cry. Man, there weren't people that if I came up to a stoplight, I'd want to whistle and get their attention and say, hey, do you know how much God loves you? Man, God's got a plan for your life. Man, every person I see, this is who I am. Why? Because I found my voice and I found my heart's cry. What's your heart's cry? You have to find your voice. Find your leadership voice. Find your voice that causes you to be able to take dominion around the world. But even though our circumstances, our situations seem tenuous and they seem like they're increasing, let the Lord get bigger in my life. Let the Lord get bigger. Let the Lord get louder. Let the Lord, man, he's not going to get any better. He could just get bigger. And when you focus on him, Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, God. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the countenance of your light. See, that's the key, that we walk in the word. The Bible says this. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Right, Tay? Okay, so why do we study? Do we study just so we know it? Or do we study? Listen, when I study at this level, guess what it does? Brady, sit up, son. When I study at this level, what it does is it qualifies me for this level. See, and then I study at this level, and it qualifies me at this level. Now, where are my enemies? Because let me just tell you, when you get to this level right here, there aren't enemies. My enemies have got to coax me off of this wall, like Nehemiah, or coax me off of the, man, like Jesus. Well, just save yourself if you're that guy. See, try to coax you off this level. Try to what? Suppress you. I mean, loyal. God's got such incredible things for you in your life. What do you got to do? You got to study to show yourself approved. For what? To be qualified for that next level. For that next level. For that next level. Man, you keep reaching. You keep elevating. You don't let the world suppress you. Because Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, listen, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Let's just stop. Let's just look at the first three right now. Let's look at the first three that are linked together. They're all linked. Because notice, it's not the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Isn't that right? I mean, look at the verse. But the fruit, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. They're all linked. So now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, which opens us up to joy, which brings us peace. See, they're linked. Without God's love, you have no peace. Without joy in your life, you have no peace. See, these all trigger, these all trip. If you're trying to start off with kindness, or you're trying to start off with long suffering, everything starts with love. See, there's an order in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, listen, love brings joy. Joy is imperative. Why? Because joy then triggers peace. And the Bible says, let the peace of God rule and reign in your life, in your heart, and act as an umpire. Man, if there's peace in your life, it doesn't matter what's happening. But what does social media do? What does instant access to news do? Yeah, you know what? It breaks my heart that plane went down last night in Africa and 157 people died. But you know what? I've read 10 alerts from it on my phone now, from the time it happened till now. It's heartbreaking. I prayed for those people. I prayed for their families. I prayed for ministry people that I'm acquainted with in that area. But you know what, man, you keep getting news like that and news like that and news like that and news like that and news like that, and what's happening politically and what's happening in other places, the next thing you know, it all begins to weigh you down. The key thing in your life is not to be news conscious. The key to your life is to be full of joy. That's the key. And it's a choice. You shout for joy. You're glad. You root for joy in your life. Man, the banner over our lives is love and joy and peace. That's what's over our lives now. And what we've got to try to do is we've got to try to get out from under that banner so that we can be like everybody else. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't. I never have. I don't want to blend in. I don't want to conform to the world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Why? Because God's joy is that important in my life, and you can choose it. You can choose joy. You can choose depression. You could choose anxiety. You could choose doubt. You could choose believing. But you have to understand this: for this faith to work and this faith to be activated and for us to live by faith and live by trust, it's all verbal. Because so is doubt. You know how that doubt's conceived that comes into your heart? Is you speak it. Somebody, man, how you feeling? Well, I could tell you how I feel, but what's more important is I don't live by how I feel. I don't live by what I see. I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Why? It brings joy. It's a determination. It's a decision. It becomes a discipline. Joy becomes a discipline in my life. It becomes the direction of my life. So much so that, why? Because I just learned it from Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. How painful was that? But you know what? He went down that path, this path, so God could give us this path. See, we don't have to die on the cross now. He did that already. We don't have to. He suffered for our pain. By whose stripes you were healed. So now he endured the stripes so that you're healed. Man, let me just tell you, the promise of God's healing, not just potential, but God's healing promise and provision in our lives, our joy's full. Man, you think about God's promise and it just fills us with joy. And the humble will increase their joy. See, pride will always keep us from true joy. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Man, why? Because we trust God. Why? Because we count on God. Joy is a decision. Make that decision today. Let me ask you. And then I'm telling you, I want to start a wildfire in here. And listen, some of you guys have been in maybe church services where there was an outpouring of joy, and I don't want this to be fleeting. This has got to be a decision that we make. Man, that Sky took, that people, you guys leaving our church service today, man, you've got a new sense that you made a decision for joy, and it's going to become a discipline in your life. I don't know if you ever thought about joy as a discipline. But is your life right with God? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? See, here's the bottom line. Us giving every situation in our life to Jesus increases our joy. That's what I'm going to ask you today. Is your life right with God? Well, we're going to give things to him. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you did, and maybe you strayed, or maybe you've been like a yo-yo with it. But today, listen, it's a new day. It's a beginning God's given you. We're new creations in Christ, where old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If you're here today, man, the first step is love. Remember? Then joy, then peace. And they're linked. Man, I don't have any peace in my life. Well, you need to experience God's love. Receive it in your heart. That's what I'm asking you to do today. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Receive God's love.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.